Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every night, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11, depending on how I can schedule it. I enjoy this show, and the show focuses on certain topics. It focuses on literature, which I dearly love, French, Russian, American, and English literature, and others. So we have a distinct literary emphasis. In addition, it has a emphasis on biblical revelation and theology. I'm a graduate of Princeton Seminary, and I am an MDiv in biblical languages, and I'm very, very committed to the Christian faith. Also, this show has a political element. I am generally conservative, but I have a great concern for the underclass. And I try to follow Christ in that respect and his directions. That's about it, as I have to say, the nature of the topics to show. Tonight I will be talking about a third party, the idea of a third party, and why I think we need a third party. But let me give you an indication of kind of where I'm coming from in this show. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not politically correct. We are not into media lies, media falsehoods, political rhetoric, or anything like that. I don't want to waste my time with that, and my mind is more focused on things like War and Peace and Resurrection and Anna Karenina and John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress and St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine and the Epistles of Paul, which are the greatest religious thinking documents that you can find in this world. I have to say that is really where I'm coming from in this show. I mean, for truth, facts, and honest discernment, and critical thinking done through analysis of the great works of art and literature, and not through the New York Times, the newspaper, the Post, or CNN. Those are vehicles that are lies. They are the function of political rhetoric. And I'm not interested. I may have some points to make, but I think that John Milton's Paradise Lost has a lot more points to make, a lot more significant points. He wrote this very great epic poem when he was blind. It shows the power of his intellect. I also wrote Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes, also while blind, which shows the power of his thoughts and intellect. An outstanding writer, an outstanding thinker, he discerned that in the fall of man, the story of Genesis, was the key to understanding truth and understanding anything that we're confronted with. It is a politically incorrect show, namely we're not really into liberal ideology or any ideology or right-wing ideology particularly. More interested in getting the facts and truth, if I can get it. The second fact of this forms this show is the fact that I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to change that view. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. That is not backward. It is frontward. If you read it, you'll find how advanced frontward it actually is. And also I have to say that my position on the Bible is the position of the church for 2,000 years. I'm not changing it. The church isn't changing it, and that's it. If you want to change it, then you have to go to the Lions Club or Ethical Culture or some other organization where you can fit in, not the church. Not the church where Christ is the Lord. And next, I am also adhere to the creeds of the church, Athanasian Apostles and Nicene Creed. If I read books, I read books like C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, St. Paul, Bonhoeffer, John Bunyan, etc. These are the books that form my mind and stretch my mind. As Jay Mortimer has said in his great book, How to Read the Bible, How to Read a Book, he said, we want to read books that will stretch us and pull us and develop us. We do not want to read books who have knowledge that will manipulate us and constitute lies to us. It's a waste of time. Next, I am a radio host of a Blog Talk radio show and a podcast radio show. I've had over 4,000 visitors to the podcast show, and I'm pleased to say that Saudi Arabia, the leading country in Islam, in fact, visits this Christian show. These radio shows are Christian shows, and they have many visitors from Muslim countries, I'm happy to say. I'm happy to have my Muslim brothers and sisters dialoguing with me. I want to hear them. I want to understand them. I want to dialogue with them and have a relationship with them. I'm not out to reject anybody's position. I'm out to listen and learn and understand where other people are coming from so they can understand me and we can reach an accommodation. As I said, there are many, many people from Muslim countries who visit these Christian shows. I myself have written, by the way, I have an Iranian philosophy student that has great enthusiasm for my Christian books. She's Muslim, but she's smart, and she's smart because she's willing to listen to Christ. I would say anybody who listens to Jesus is rather smart, since Jesus represents the mind of God in every way, in 100% thinking. Next, I've written 10 books, Christian books, essays in a Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, and a book on the parables, or 41 parables, and a book on the Psalms, of interpreting the 150 Psalms. These books, I think, of interpretation of the parables are helpful because the parables are the words and thoughts of the Son of God. And they bear very careful attention. And I hope that book, a commentary on the parables, is helpful to people. I certainly think it's more important to read the parables than to read about them in my book. But you're welcome to look at the book and read it. Next, I would like to speak about the book on the Psalms. The Psalms are one of my favorite all-time favorite books of the world. They represent the mind of God. They are spiritual food. I read them in Hebrew in seminary. I memorized the first, second, and 23rd Psalm in Sunday school. The Psalms, as John Donne, the great Anglican priest, said, the Psalms are the manna of the church. They inspire me. They move me. They develop me. When you read the Psalms, your mind, as I said, as Mortimer Adler said, reading the Psalms is stretching your mind to its ultimate lengths that is possible. I also am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing a book on the book of Job. It's a wonderful book. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish. But the book represents the trials that Job endured from God. It's a great book. It's in the form of a Greek play. He was probably came from a Greek or Hellenistic background, and that's it. I'm also writing another law book on the pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. I've partially written that, and I enjoy writing because I think, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, about written writing in words. It is only in print that we can truly develop our minds. As Mortimer Adler said in the book, How to Read a Book, he said that images, if we depend on images to learn, we are drugged. That's what he said. They're drugs. They are drugs, friends. It's only in the great books which demand our attention, such as War and Peace, such as Paradise Lost, such as Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners by John Bunyan, St. Augustine's Confessions, St. Thomas Aquinas. These are the books that move our minds beyond their immediate local functioning. As Mortimer Adler said, these are the books that stretch our mind. When we want to read a book, we want our mind to be stretched and developed. And it's only in the books that I just described that this can occur in any way. Next, I have written over 800-900 blogs. I'm preparing 3 books of those blogs. The blogs are literary, philosophical, theological, and political. 3 of those books are in preparation. One has been submitted to a publisher. The blogs are very, 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 these blogs, these books, which will compile these blogs, over 900 of them, will, I think, be very interesting for people who wish to read this material. I would hope so. As I say, I have great faith in print as a medium of thought and communication. I don't think television or movies or cell phones or emails are particularly helpful in thinking. They may be helpful in communicating superficial thoughts quickly, but that's all. They do not develop our thinking, which the books I just mentioned do. Next, I'd like to talk about, I have written three books on the Syracuse Law Review and on the criminal procedure and on other matters, on Academicus and International Albanian Scientific Journal. I've written a article on the United States educational system and on sexual orientation discrimination. I oppose any kind of discrimination, and those particular articles have been brought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department in two instances. Next, let's take a look at this topic of what I say is a 30-party proposal. Let's look at what's going on with our two Republican and Democratic parties. The Republican Party presents itself, I think, as a party of family values or traditional values. The Republicans claim an alliance with traditional heterosexual marriage and the non-working wife. And implied in this political appeal, which I understand what's going on, I'm going to say I agree with it, implied in this particular political appeal is a rejection of homosexuality and feminism. You might say the Republicans have always allied themselves with the forces of Protestant fundamentalism, with its emphasis on personal salvation and Christ. So that is the Republican Party. That's where the Republican Party has placed itself. The Republicans also ally themselves with the Roman Catholic Church on the Church's opposition to abortion. And so the product of this alliance with conservative Protestants and the Roman Catholic Church is a Republican Party's, you might say, selective moral agenda, focusing on two things, abortion and possibly homosexual marriage, though that may change. So the Republican Party embraces the people who like the traditional family situation. But on the other hand, you have to understand that there's been a transfer of wealth to a smallest form minority of the American population. And there has been a transfer of wealth to a 1% minority of the population and an outsourcing of jobs to places such as India, China, Iran, and Taiwan, where cheap, if not sweatshop labor, does the work of the wages of the formerly unionized American worker. So this is what's going on here. The Republican Party sort of embraces a transfer of wealth to the small wealthy minority, though the Democrats do too. And second thing is there's been a massive outsourcing of jobs to third world countries such as India, China, Korea, and Taiwan, where cheap, if not sweatshop labor, does the work of the formerly unionized American worker, who is left unemployed and without job skills. In the meantime, there's a continuing flow of immigrants to the United States who do the work at a very low price than the unionized American worker was paid. Thus, you might say, under the guise of support for traditional family and traditional marriage, there's been I don't know whether the Republicans favor this, the Democrats do too, there's been an immoral concentration of wealth in fewer and fewer hands, with the pauperization of the American middle class, and a situation where wealth is transferred to a very small percentage of the population. And there's a massive outsourcing of jobs to third world countries, which does the work of the formerly unionized American worker. And in the meantime, there's a continuing flow of immigrants to the United States who do the work at a low price. So that is the Republican Party, and its facial position is heterosexual marriage, opposition, and favoring the traditional family setup. Not saying it's bad. Personally, I favor the traditional family setup. But the Republican Party opposes abortion and homosexuality, I think, although I don't think they oppose it overtly. They certainly oppose abortion. And because this is part and parcel of the traditional family setup. Now let's take a look at the Democratic Party. Since the days of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the Democratic Party has identified itself with the poor. Of course, I have to say, I'm not so sure there are that many poor people in the United States. So they kind of made this thing their banner, the way they attracted voters. And they concerned themselves with the rights of minorities. They concerned themselves with the poor and disaffected and with the rights of minorities, black, Hispanic, et cetera, women. However, this is a very tricky thing. The Democratic Party, since the days of Franklin Roosevelt, has identified itself with the rights and concerns of the poor, and particularly the minorities, black, Hispanic, et cetera, and women. But the question is this a real issue? United States is a relatively prosperous country, and so this position of the Democratic Party, concern for social action and poor people, is somewhat falls flat. Since in the Democratic Party, in its concern for the poor, falls flat, and for these fringe groups, because these people do not have such a bad position in our society. We have a lovely, prosperous country. We don't have a great number of poor people, and yes, it may be true that minorities may not be quite as helped as they should be. But Democratic Party does want to kind of identify itself with the disaffected and poor and fringe groups. So what are we going to say about this? There isn't that many poor people in the United States. The United States is a relatively wealthy country, perhaps the most wealthy country in the world. So the Democratic Party's concern for poverty and the poor falls somewhat flat. What is the solution to this moral paradox, where one party, the Republican Party, embraces the traditional family and traditional sexual morality, while the Democratic Party identifies itself with the concern for the poor who lack advantages? Let me offer a solution here. I say to this, we need a third party which embraces the traditional family, which the Republican Party embraces, but nevertheless sees the need to care for the poor, the weak, and oppressed. So the moral concern of a third party, which I would like to have, is a moral concern with the encouragement and acceptance of a stable family life, because I think that the traditional family is the best option we can have. I'm not going to change that position. I don't say you can't do that. I think you have a right to do what you want, but I think it's the best. And I propose a third party which embraces the traditional family, but provides the need to care and provide for the weak and oppressed. In this way, the total moral concern in this third party is addressed with the encouragement of stable family life, along with a social concern that leaves out no one out and gives everyone, black, Hispanic, feminist, et cetera, a part of the system. Third party, stable family, traditional family, concern for the poor. Those two things, those are the two parties, the sexual morality, which the Democratic Party, the Republican Party is concerned with, and its opposition to abortion, as well as the Democratic Party's concern for the poor. I think we need both in a third party. In addition, I think that it is true, I think it's validly true, that this is not a poor country, and the Democratic Party may be kind of fooling a lot of people to vote for them on this basis, since most people here are not poor. This is not a poor country. It can't be seen as a poor country. And the Democratic Party is manipulating the population on this basis to say to them, we love the poor, and the Republican Party loves the rich. These are manipulative techniques. They're lies. And I think the third party should embrace both the traditional family setup, which the Republican Party believes in, or says it believes in, with concern for the poor, which the Democratic Party and minorities, which the Democratic Party embraces. That's my solution, third party. Think about it, and I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. You'll find this essay on page 84 and 85 and 86 of my book, Essays on the Christian Worldview and Others, Political, Literary, and Philosophical. And I hope you have gained some insight from what I've said. I don't have all the answers, but I have a few ideas. And I hope you've given some thought to what I say. Good night.